Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Juice and Mo podcast, recording this on the Thursday night. The Sacramento Kings back on the home floor after a 2-1 road trip, a trip that included an ugly loss to Milwaukee. How would they respond against one of the best teams in the West, a team that has been on fire coming into tonight? 7 straight road wins, coming off some impressive wins over the Memphis Grizzlies. They played last night in Denver, though. Those Houston Rockets, who were 27-12 coming into the game, a bit shorthanded. Jabari Smith still out. No Fred VanVleet, but goddamn, they got talent and dogs everywhere, plus a guy who's on a heater in Jalen Green. But we got some breaking news. Oh. Knock, knock. Malik Monk is back. He missed one game, and man, did they miss him in Milwaukee. He responded in a massive way. That two-man game with Domantas Sabonis, the big shots, the big plays, the juice, the energy. He was spectacular in this one, and then come closing time, Debo said, get on my back. We're playing my game. I'm taking you to school. I don't care if you've got the size, Tari Easton. I don't care if you're part of the Terror Twins. I'm going at you. He went at everybody, and down the stretch, Debo, 16 points in the fourth quarter. He had 33 in the game, and the Sacramento Kings were able to close the door on the tough Houston Rockets tonight, 132-127. All of a sudden, the Sacramento Kings have won 5 in a row on the home floor, and now they are creeping up those Western Conference standings, Morgan. After the win, they're 21-20, and they are just a game and a half out of the 6th spot.
Ooh.
I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How are you doing, Mo, after the Kings beat the Rockets on TNT?
So good. That was such a fun game to watch. The energy at Golden 1 Center, amazing. And it was, you know, after what we've witnessed with this streak and them starting to win on the home floor, but then even going on the road and winning, then so coming back home, getting that kind of ovation, that energy that you want with your home crowd, they got it. And it being a TNT game, it being against a tough team, really glad that the Rockets were on a second night of a back-to-back because you see how hard they play all the way through. Even if their legs are tired, they just get more physical. And when I say more physical, I definitely think that there's more fouling, but the officials aren't going to just call every single time that they're hacking down on a
player. Although they did call them late.
And they
definitely called those fouls.
And I wasn't expecting that. And they were probably just too obvious. I mean, you saw the one, obviously, we'll get to all of them, but Dylan Brooks, like, grabbing onto De'Aaron before the ball was even inbounded and so on. But yeah, I think how the Kings responded to the energy, to the physicality of this Houston Rockets team on the big stage tonight, loved it all.
So most points the Rockets have allowed in a game this year, 132 points. Kings win 132-127. The most points this Rockets defense is near the top of the NBA. As Morgan mentioned, the physicality, the length, the dog, they've got a lot of that on that team. And they welcomed back Tari Eason tonight, who was massive off their bench, came up with some huge plays, especially to get the Rockets back into the game. I think the start of this one is just like, The really encouraging thing about this group the last 10 games is they're finding ways to win close games, something they could not do at all early in the season. How many times do we see them gag away games or come up short late?
Yeah, I mean, far too many times. So many times where it ended up being a theme, and the amount of times that we had the conversation of, okay, good teams find a way to get a win. And I think we were able to say that like once or twice in the beginning of the season. And then once we realized that wasn't the case for this team, it got scary. And that's why you go into, okay, maybe it's the roster, maybe it's this. The change was made with Mike Brown, and this team is starting to figure some things out. Malik Monk was asked about it in the post-game presser, and he basically was like, those games were so good for us to learn from, like, what not to do and learn from our mistakes and how to execute late. And I love that they took that as a teaching, a learning experience, because some guys just like droop their heads and go, what did we do wrong? What can we do? It's just when you lose, it's doom and gloom. But the Kings just always kept trying to learn from mistakes, trying to get better and keep making their tweaks.
And I thought the other thing too that was key, it's key at any time you play the Rockets, is you can't back down to the physicality.
Yeah.
You have to try your best to match it. I felt like the Kings did. You know, I think there were times they were frustrated with the officials, and Doug Christie's been on this team to like, hey, let me handle this shit. Yeah. Let me handle the officials. You keep playing. And there was frustration, but they just kept playing. And even when the Rockets made a run, they countered with a run.
Yeah.
And so it's good to see that they're not folding. It's good that they can hang with the team and be physical. Another thing I was looking at in this game, rebounding. Is the fog getting to you?
Is it getting to you?
What do you mean?
I could hear it in your voice a few times. Yeah.
Stop winning so many games.
Okay, go on.
Another thing. Okay. You slap yourself. Yeah. I can do it for you.
I can do that for you.
All right, relax. All right.
Okay.
The Rockets are one of the best rebounding teams in the NBA. And the last time the Kings played the Rockets, Houston destroyed them on the glass. Destroyed them. Tonight, they lost the rebounding advantage by 2. The Rockets have had some critical offensive rebounds in that third quarter. In fact, I think they had 12 second chance points in that third quarter. Whoa. But at the end of the game, second chance points, it was 19-15. You didn't get totally destroyed on that end.
Good.
And then the next thing I was going to look at is something Sacramento did a great job in the first meeting against Houston, and that was capitalizing off Houston's turnovers. They had 20-plus points off Houston's turnovers in the first game. Tonight, 22 points off 14 turnovers. Mm-mm. So they won that advantage.
Love.
They had the rebounding close, won the points off turnover battle, which was very significant because the Kings did have some bad turnovers in this game too. But I just thought the fight was there. And this is what we've been talking about with this team is, God, they got to start doing this at home. You know, like the amount of close games that they lost at home early on when the season looked like it was just falling apart, it's just so frustrating. And now this place lately, like, you feel the energy right away.
Oh, not only do you feel it right away, you don't feel nerves when someone's going to a free throw line. You don't feel nerves when there's 90 seconds left in the game and somehow you're seeing the Houston Rockets just chip away. Jalen Green being a beast and knocking down some big shots. God, I mean, all of those moments, you feel obviously just like anyone would, like the, oh no, you know, whatever. But I don't feel this sense of confidence being lost in this team like it was before. And that energy alone is great. Oh, and then just any time that they were stealing the ball at the end of the game, the crowd, the pop, it was thrilling. Absolutely thrilling.
Where do you want to start with this game in general?
Let's just go to the end.
The end of the game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I think that's where
it's... That fourth quarter was a roller coaster ride. The fourth quarter ended up being 42-42.
Whoa.
Yeah. Houston shot over 70% in the fourth quarter.
Whoa.
King shot a good percentage, too. They were in the 50s. I should just get the official numbers because I'm like, hey, in the 70s. Okay. Yeah, fourth quarter, 42-42. In that fourth quarter, Houston was 14 of 19, 73%. They knocked down 6 of 11 from 3, 8 of 10 at the line. Sacramento shot 52%. They were 3 of 5 from downtown. They shot 13 free throws. They made all 13, including 5 of 5 from Fox, 5 of 5 from DeMar DeRozan, who was massive.
Those free throws were huge at the end. I mean, you look at where they were in the game and just some big moments where they had to go in to make sure to create that extra padding. Love it.
Well, the Kings went into the fourth quarter. They were up 90-85. And of course, before we know it, the Kings get a little sloppy. And Houston's up 91-90, just like that. And you're like, is this how we're starting the quarter? Really like that? Like, Fox had a pass. He went behind the back trying to get to Lyles. It hit Thompson's foot.
Oh, I know.
They didn't call it a kickball. Whatever, they missed that. Thompson goes down and scores a bucket, makes it 91-90. We go back and forth. It was just exchanging blows left and right. But then the Kings start to take off. They end up going up 114-105 at the 409 mark after Keegan Murray hit that corner three. How about Keegan Murray in this game, Morgan?
Oh, my gosh. I loved hearing his name tonight. And just how aggressive he was. Love. We can talk more about him. I just was going to let you continue.
Yeah, I was just looking through that stretch when they went up 114-105, how they got there. I mean, it was just big play after big play. You had Fox Steele leading to a Monk dunk. Then you had DeRozan making a jumper. You had Monk making a three. DeRozan making a jumper. Then Keegan hits that three to put him up 114-105. After the timeout with four, and I gotta be honest, 409 to go, 114-105. I'm like, I think the Kings still got this. Like, just come out here. Don't mess around. You'll be fine. Like, this team's on the second half back to back. They just played in Denver last night. Like, it'll be fine. Houston's defensive pressure to get back in this game and take the lead again. In like, how fast did they take the lead? I said 409 by 2:36 to go. Easton makes two free throws. Kings are down one. And you're like, what the hell just happened? What happened was just unbelievable defensive effort. And I the guy who jumps out to me most was Şengün.
Yep.
Fox
his had on-ball pressure.
Fox turned on the Jets, and I'm like, oh, he's going for an easy score.
The block.
The block by Şengün?
Yep.
Was an unbelievable play.
So that block, but then what about when he was on Malik Monk? Malik almost going to the floor. Like, just being able to...
Yeah, and that was a turnover.
And hold his space, make sure that Monk couldn't get around him, but also was so active with his hands. This is a big doing that on the outside confidently. So you had that from him.
And that play was interesting too, because Monk definitely was like, oh, cool, I got Şengün on me. And I liked it too. I'm like, oh, he's going to attack him. And I felt like he was a little crazy with the dribble in that situation. I mean, he was dribbling at like he was going to make a move, but Şengün was like, you're going to leave that ball out there for me. I'm going to dig at it.
Yep.
He dug at it. And I think that was a play where he tried to get to Fox after falling down.
Someone
and
in the
Easton
corner
got the steal. Yeah. That was tough. Then you're right. Another play was when Keegan had the ball and Şengün was digging on him and got the steal. So immediately, Şengün, who gets shit on all the time for, oh, he's a bad defensive player, he can't do this, can't do that. Dude, to see him that active on guys that you think have the advantage on him, for him to play with that type of pressure and have that mindset of like, I don't give a shit. Like, we've got nothing to lose right now. Like, we have to get back in this game. Let me try to create some chaos. He did just that, and it got Houston right back into the game.
Yeah, and then you felt that defensive energy from the rest of the Rockets as well. You know, they're going, okay, he's going to get this physical. He's going to turn it on. We're all going to turn it on as well. I thought everyone just started really locking in with the Houston Rockets.
But the Kings would respond after that. You know, Debo was massive. That game has to be one of the best TNT games of the year, by the way. I want to go back and watch it just because I want to hear Kevin Harlan call that game. I'm sure he was just losing his mind at some of these plays. I mean, it was just like these two teams were like exchanging blows left and right. So after the Kings lost the lead, you had DeMar DeRozan hit a three ball. A great play from De'Aaron Fox, who had a rough shooting night. Like, he could not get anything going tonight. He was 6 of 17 this game. But some of the plays I like late was the sequence when he pushed that ball, got into the paint, found DeRozan wide open for three. DeRozan knocks down the shot. Then Jalen Green's got the rock. Fox is like in denial on Şengün and picks Şengün steal. And that ends up leading to Malik Monk and one.
Okay.
I mean, that's a big swing right there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So all of a sudden, you're down 115, 114, and then you take the lead. You're up 120 to 115. Insane, you know?
And then how did it get so close?
Well, then Jalen Green comes down. It's a three.
That's what it was.
I mean, dude, DeRozan makes a jumper. Then that was an and one on Eason. That was a sick play on Eason. He had Eason one-on-one. Malik Monk is, you see the replay? He's jumping up and down the corner. Like, give me the ball. And he kind of walks away because he's like irritated in that moment. He's frustrated. Say, let me hit this open three. And Debo's like in his mind, like, I'm going to shoot this and score it. And he did.
Yeah.
That was a big
play.
Glad
he scored it.
Yeah. I mean, Eason hit a three during that stretch. Then it turned into the free throw game where Fox hits a couple of free throws, makes it 125-122. Jalen Green gets to the cup so easily. I don't know how he does it. So explosive in like 6 seconds. And then it's a one-point game again. Then you had Dylan Brooks foul Fox. They challenged it. It was like not, I mean, it was a foul. What are we looking at, right?
Oh, yeah, when he hit him across the arm, that first one. Yeah.
So that was, so that ended up being before the inbound, right?
Yeah.
So they reviewed it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The one that was before the inbound, he actually like ripped his arm, like grabbed his
arm. Okay, well, that's
was
the play
later.
I'm referencing.
Okay.
Anyway, so that one free throw on the ball, Fox gets fouled, blah, 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 blah. It turns into a free throw game, and the Kings end up winning. It was just incredible back and forth game and seeing that the Kings did not just fold like they have. And that's where it's so nice to have someone like DeMar DeRozan, dude, like who is just not going to get rattled. And I know the criticism on him sometimes is like, hey, man, like that's a bad shot. Dude, with DeMar DeRozan, I don't think there's many bad shots. And I see it with defenders draped all over him. And I've been critical at times like, oh, that's not a good shot. He makes these tough shots. He's been doing it his entire career.
He does, and he gets to the free throw line. And the other thing that you're still going to have these moments, and that's what's so hard is that as a coach or even as a teammate, how do you tell someone that caliber of player, like, hey, make sure to look at me, make sure to do this? It's hard to find that balance, but at the same time, I mostly feel like DeMar knows what he's doing. And there's a few times when either a double is coming or someone was just up in his face and then the defense had shifted over. There's one, he had that cross court pass to De'Aaron for a three, but then he had another one at the top where the defense has shifted, that he got the switch. And so Sabonis had maybe Green on him or someone else. And he just like jump pass to Sabonis in the paint. And it was just stunning, beautiful, gorgeous. Loved it.
One of the threes that Keegan hit late is because DeMar got double teamed in the corner.
Yeah.
And then he got it across the court to Malik, who swung it.
Yeah.
And it was great decision making. And that's why you like having a guy like him on your team. He ends up with 33 points in this game, 16 in the fourth quarter. He had 5 rebounds. He had 4 dimes, 12 of 23 shooting, 7 of 7 at the line. Francisco had a great stat in there that we talked about last podcast, Basketball Sickos. The Kings last year were dead last in free throw percentage.
Yep.
Dead last. This year, they're number 2 in the league. They were 20 of 22 tonight, 90.9%.
It's great. I mean, Malik, again, someone had asked him about the free throws or whatever and just how awful it was that they were where they were with their free throw shooting and how that can just be so deflating. And you just think about them putting in that work. Also, adding someone who is known to make their free throws, they've just gone in the right direction with that. And why it's so important, obviously, when you're close in games, you want to make sure that you're making those free throws. But you're seeing it in games like this at the end of a game when it matters most. It could completely shift the momentum to the Houston Rockets if you're missing those free throws at the end, even if you're just up one. Or you think about if you're up one and then Jalen Green comes down and hits a tough shot and then you're back down. Like, just those little things of why these free throws have been so very important lately for this Kings confidence. I just love it.
It was just a great game, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you're an NBA fan, you loved watching tonight's game. Malik Monk being back, dude. I mean, we've been talking about the importance of just him to the team really since he got here.
Yeah.
And just seeing him in action. And I think the thing that we joked about last year a lot was like, okay, is there something like some sort of like thing that's preventing the Kings from playing him 30 minutes a night because he needs to be on the floor? We'd be like, wow, 27 minutes tonight. He needs to play more. Malik Monk now is just, he's a starting guard in this league and he's showing why. He played 37 minutes in this game and his, the two-man game with him and Sabonis, I think is one of the best two-man games in the NBA. This is against a good defense and Malik threw some unbelievable passes.
Oh my God.
In traffic. They're like, I don't know how he got it there. His timing, knowing when, where to put it, when to put it, where it needs to be. Sabonis, understanding Malik. What stood out to you about Malik?
Just the how quick they are with those decisions. I say they because I'm putting them in the two-man game at that moment because it does take the two of them to execute what they've been able to do together. How they want to create that space, where they want to be. So they're making sure they're getting that pocket pass, but it's leading them to the basket. It's not just putting them in a place where they're going to have to make one extra move. And I think the understanding between those two, it's beautiful, but you talk about what it's added. We talked about how much we missed it even in the last game and how it would have made a huge difference with his playmaking. But I think about him even in that point guard role and being able to manage the floor with the ball in his hands, he's been making the right play.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I keep seeing him out there and I'm like, how many times that we've talked about him not being a true point guard or whatever the hell his identity has been the last couple of years in Sacramento. And it's like, no, he can handle the basketball and he can do things at a very high level and at a very impactful level where it's such a game changer.
He knows when to push. He knows when to slow it down. He can attack the rim. He's not afraid to shoot it. He makes some unbelievable passes. He had one today. I mean, we talk about the two-man game, but there's one place Sabonis had the ball, goes into a DHO with Monk. This was, I think, early second quarter. And Monk, with the right, just throws an absolute bullet at an angle to Trey Lyles in the corner for three. It's just a crazy-ass play.
Yeah.
And those are the type of energy-shifting moments he brings to the table all Absolutely. The time, dude. And It was a much needed jolt.
And as a defense, how do you stop that? You know, like you can get up in him and try and slow him down. I think when you think about when we talk about Şengün coming up on him that one time, he got excited that he was gonna cross him up and go.
Sometimes that
excitement led to overthinking it, whatever. But for the most part, it's like you see the way that he's explosive, the way that he just goes. It's almost fearless.
To that point, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that was a little problem when the Rockets started pressuring, when they were down 9, 114 to 105, and that pressure came, it needed to be more decisive in your attack on Şengün. See Şengün on you and go at him. And I think there was a little too much of like, oh, let's kind of utilize some clock here. Let me dribble and see. And the Rockets, during that stretch, got the Kings late in shot clock almost every time. And then you're in panic mode. And Houston, all they're thinking is like, more pressure, make it tough on them. And that just forced the Kings into some tough decisions. So, yeah, if we're going to talk about some of the bad things, don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. Those would be some of the things you would talk about. I was like, okay, let's keep that pace going. It's 4 minutes to go. It's not a minute 30 to go. Let's keep playing our game the best way and just close the door on this team so a rally like that can't happen. Because the last thing you want is for this Houston team to get out and transition. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, Morgan, about
it's
this.
Okay.
We're just talking about Malik Monk. But the fast break points tonight were insane. Dude, I was looking this number up because I felt like any time Houston had a fast break opportunity, it was trouble. And if it was either Eason or Amen Thompson who got the ball.
My goodness.
It was insane to see what type of impact those two combined.
Uh-huh.
Those two combined, Eason and Thompson, the Terror Twins, 19 fast break points.
Oh.
Those two had 19 fast break points. The Kings had 18, which is a great number. 18's good. You'll take that. But the Rockets had 27. 19 of those were from Thompson in from Eason. And those guys are just long, athletic. They play with physicality, the bounce they have, and then their damage they do in the paint. Eason had 10 points in the paint. Thompson had 16 points in the paint. Those guys are nasty. I mean, yeah. It was just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they're nasty, but they're tough. You know, that's the other thing. Tough on the defensive end, but tough getting the basket. You talk about Thompson, his ability to get there, but then at times finish at his pace,
yeah,
or how he needed to, whether it was falling over, whether it was hanging in the air, whether it was with a Euro step. It was just, it was so impressive at times. I'm trying to think if it was him or Eason or who it was that had this really nice move on the baseline on Malik Monk. I forget who it was.
I remember Eason having a baseline attack.
Was it the baseline?
Jam.
Yeah.
That was nice. And then, I mean, at the end of the third quarter, when was the end of the third quarter? Let me look at my notes.
Back to Deuce's notes.
Back of my notes. Yep, that's what it was, dude. What? So I didn't totally love the Kings close to the third, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, that was the second. But no, anyway, close game. At final possession of that third quarter. Chaos underneath. I think Adams missed a shot. Thompson got it back, missed it. Somehow, I don't know how he got back in the play. This guy's athleticism is just like mind-blowing. He gets back and scores it. And you're like, how did he do that? It's that set. I know we used to talk about Bagley second. You remember everyone's like, Marvin Bagley second jump. Hey, I'm in Thompson's second jump is ridiculous.
Let's talk about it.
It's just insane. I mean, he had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He just grabs rebounds. He's such a great defender.
And watching him last night against the Denver Nuggets, he was so sloppy, so sloppy. Still finished with, 18 points or whatever ended up being. But I was just like, okay, maybe, you know, like, the youth is showing a little bit more. And then you see him tonight and you're just, holy shit, on a second night of a back-to-back when he was playing a lot of minutes last night as well.
He had 40, he played 41 minutes in this game tonight. And he's got to like chase around De'Aaron Fox.
Yep. No big deal.
He's unbelievable. And it's year two?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Rockets, that's a different story. Okay. How did I get from Monk to there? That's an
improbable. You went Monk, fast break points, Thompson,
no, I know
Rockets.
I went Monk passes, then we talked about Monk, the Şengün play, and then we went back into Rockets in transition, pushing the ball, fast break points, those two, crazy.
Now where are you going back to?
Malik Monk.
Okay.
No, I just, it's, I wasn't sure, you know, when we had so much conversation about, is he a six man? Is he coming off the bench? You know, and I go back and forth on it sometimes, but like, God, when you see him out there, you're like, you just want this guy on the floor. You just feel better when Malik's out there. And it just makes life easier for everybody. You know, defenses are going to put so much focus on De'Aaron Fox in games. And I think the one issue the Kings are having right now is at times Fox is playing with the bench unit. And the Kings bench unit is just wildly inconsistent. We come on here some stretch and go, oh, man, what a good three-game run by Trey Lyles. And then it's like, it's bad for six. You know what I mean? Or Kevin Huerter, he had two good games. And then it's like seven mediocre ones. Devin Carter's a rookie. You know, it's just tough. And this is where, like, long term, you're looking at what the Kings need. It's like, dude, they need to move so bad. I mean, you saw in the second unit, they just don't have the size. Like,
I'm glad that some of their flaws show in a really good win. And I say that because I think sometimes everyone with a lot of these wins will go into the place of, you know, oh, this, everything's looking pretty good. Everything's looking whatever. And then some people will still just talk trades all the time and be like, can't even celebrate a win and just want to talk about who to trade and what. But I think when you look at the depth of this team, of this roster and the inconsistencies of it and how that has been consistent throughout this season, absolutely you can talk about the tweaks that need to be made there. And especially, I know we'll talk about him, but Keon Ellis going down with the ankle, hopefully just a tweak, we don't know. But you think about how much that's going to hurt what your bench was producing with a player like him in it. So Devin Carter, you know, only played 8 minutes tonight. Didn't look as good as he did when he was obviously in the first couple games with the G League. And then what, the first couple? First two, maybe. Yeah,
he's been solid. I mean, he did one good thing I liked. He took a charge from Dylan Brooks tonight, but again, he only plays 8 minutes in this one.
Yeah, and maybe that's not enough time for him to also show off what else he could have done. You know, whatever it is. Either way, I think this conversation is leading toward, yeah, like you got to be smart and make a tweak.
Yeah, Kevin Huerter only played 9 minutes in this game. Ellis played 11 because he went down in the third quarter. There was 3:17 to go in the third. He was playing defense. I believe it was on Jalen Green, and he stepped on Sabonis's foot, twisted that ankle like pretty bad, went immediately to the ground. He did walk off, which is great.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't imagine that he's going to be good to go for Sunday. Like that's probably one that you hope is not like a serious like grade three sprain. You just hope it's like, oh, he just needs like a week off or something. But like Keon Ellison played some good basketball for the Kings, and missing him's big.
And missing is big too, just like we said, especially because you look at the bench now and all your starters are back, but obviously trying to figure out the rotations and how you want to stagger guys. Like you said, when De'Aaron's with that second unit, things are just different. Teams know who to gravitate to, who they need to pay attention to. And obviously we've seen some games where Trey, Kevin, they're making their 3-point shots and it's like, holy shit, it opens things up. It's everyone's becoming more of a threat. It's just not consistent. So
one thing I did like that Doug did tonight is, so to start the fourth quarter, they started Carter, Fox, Monk, Keegan, and Lyles. And then less than a minute later, the Rockets have to leave. Doug put the starters right back in.
Love it.
And they I think he was going to finish the game with them until Sabonis fouled out. So he puts the starters back in at the 11:03 mark. And, you know, that's where every coach has kind of an idea of like, oh, these are my rotations. This is when I want to put players in. But there are sometimes you crumble it up and go, feel this game's momentum is shifting. It's falling apart here. I need my guys to get control of this game. We need this game.
Like,
I like that move by Doug.
Don't fuck around too long. Like, figure it out and go in the direction that you, like you said, that you feel is right, that you believe in as a coach. And I feel like that's something that we've seen from Doug in this stretch of his games, is his feel for that and for playing players that are looking good out there and not going to the next guy that is used to playing these amount of minutes or whatever it is. Feel what is right, go with it.
And to this point, you look at Houston tonight, they're down technically two starters, right? Jabari Smith's been out and Fred VanVleet missed the game due to personal reasons. Thompson played 41 minutes, but Brooks was at 33. Jeff Green got the start, the old man who had a nice dunk to open up the second half. He played 22 minutes, gave him 10 points. Jalen Green was on a tear. He played 33 minutes. Şengün played 33. You got 22 from Whitmore off the bench. Eason gave you 25, 14 from Adams, 13 from Holiday. And the Kings, all their guys played at least 37 minutes in the starting lineup. So it goes to some of the stuff we've talked about that was problematic early in the season coming up now.
Did you feel like some of the Rockets players, like their legs, their bodies toward the end of the game looked, when I say tired, it's, but they pushed through. Here's what they kind of, I guess, disguise some of their tired efforts out there with, just physicality. Like they dig deep and they have that dog in them where they just like, okay, well, we're tired as hell, so we're going to now do this. We might hack away a few plays. We might, you know, be super physical and get some calls, but at the same time, like, we need to go in this direction and kind of shift the tempo.
Morgan, can you give some love to the people watching us live right now?
People, I love you.
Give me a hell yeah.
Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you're subscribed as well. Let me take a quick look. Okay, we should have, with the crowd we have in here.
Oh my God.
If you hit the like button and the thumbs up, we should be at like 800 to 900 thumbs up. It's almost
Deuce's math.
It's a slap in the face to To the Kings, fans, to basketball sickos around the world, everybody. I also saw someone in the chat, Kilpie, I believe that's what it says.
Okay.
DeMar totally looked off Malik with a minute 30 left. Malik was hella open on the opposite wing, but DeMar got his and one shot midi versus Eason. If he would have missed that, could have been disastrous.
What?
He didn't miss it, so.
That's what he's saying.
I know, but like could have been disastrous. Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, but he could have thrown it to Malik and Malik could have missed the three. I mean, I don't know. We could play the woulda, coulda game all day long. We did talk about that play already. It's DeMar DeRozan. I'm sorry. Like, he makes these shots. Tari Eason on him. Really good defender, physical, long.
I'll say this, though. We definitely had a different tune when they were losing, and that was the same case.
No.
Bullshit. Yeah, we did.
Morant, I said it the other night when he was 5 for 21 in a game. I'm like, this is what you have to live with.
That's the thing. I think in some of these wins, even in some of the inefficient games, I agree, like, hey, that's the direction you want to go. You have DeMar DeRozan. Sure. Like, he knows what he's doing. And I also think in plays like that, like, it's fair to bring up, like, oh, could have been bad. But it's just like Deuce said, could have, would have, should have. Like, sure. But it wasn't bad. You know, he got the N1 and everything went right. And if it did start going bad, that and then people were getting mad, that's when you question things. But I'm sure that they would talk it out. And
my point, though, is if it's like, if this was a regular occurrence where, like, God, he's just looking off his teammates left and right, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, but you know what? DeMar probably didn't see him. DeMar was thinking late game situation. I'm cooking at this point.
Yeah,
I'm double digits in scoring in the quarter. I'm in a rhythm here. I'll cook this and let me do it. And he did. And guess what? If you missed it, he's not going to be like, that was a bad shot. He's going to be like, I missed the shot. And that's the difference between like great scorers in this league and like people who are kind of average, is like they have confidence no matter what. And I respect that. But yeah, Malik was wide. I mean, Malik Monk was jumping up and down wide open. He either didn't see him or didn't care.
And so I got this.
Yeah. I mean,
I want to discuss one of the most important plays of this game tonight.
I know what it
Thank
is.
Thank you. That will live in my brain forever.
Oh, don't say it.
Okay.
What do you guys think was Morgan's favorite play of this game tonight?
Really curious. Oh my God, I'm so excited to talk about it. One single play will live rent-free in my head.
Yeah.
And it just brought me all the joy.
Well,
that one could need.
While we wait on the guesses, one of my favorite moments, but not like a massive moment in the game, noted it because I liked it. Kevin Huerter, nice activity, blocked Whitmore, and then the ball goes out on the perimeter, and Malik Monk has just an amazing closeout on that same possession, forced a miss. And I was like, this is like the type of effort, two guys that maybe aren't known for their defense, just giving effort out there, and effort goes a long, long way.
People are guessing.
Okay, let me see some of the guesses. Kevin Huerter, dunk. Monk staring down Brooks. That was a great moment. Keegan coast to coast. Okay. Yeah, the Huerter alley-oop dunk. Yeah, from Fox. When Fox threw Huerter an alley-oop, I was like, oh my God. Yeah,
and Huerter can get up.
It's the Keegan Murray play. Keegan Murray? Getting a stop, rebound, pushing it. I'm like, oh, what's he doing? Behind the back. Then goes and attacks.
And one. And it wasn't a dunk, right? It was a layup, right? Yeah. So and one layup at the rim, finish, whatever. But it was the way that he went downhill with his handles. It was the oh shit kind of moment where I'm just smiling.
He smiled
from ear to ear. He's smiling. If you look back at the replay, it's and you see the coaches in the back, every coach does oh, and then every coach is just smiling at the end. It's not even like the oh my God, he broke someone's ankle. It's everyone smiling because they're like, you have it in you, kid. Keep going. Keep doing that.
You know, I think everyone talks about that Keon Ellis is probably the player that's benefited most with the coaching change.
Uh-huh.
I'd say Keegan's up there too.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, he definitely is playing with a little more pop and juice, too. And absolutely, it helps he's knocking down shots, but I think he's just playing with a lot more confidence, too. He ends up in this game with 18 points, 11 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds. He was 7 of 10, 3 of 6 from downtown in this game. Playing some good defense, too.
Yeah.
And he had to deal with, like, Jalen Green at times. I mean, Green's just nasty, man. This is not like he was, like, ISO-ing Keegan Murray. No, they're running a lot of screen action. Even at times when they blitz Jalen Green, he would still find a way at times to like split that, get to the rim.
Yep.
Jalen Green is on the heater of all heaters right now. But I thought Keegan Murray tonight had a fantastic game.
I'm with you. And I think the fantastic game, what made his game so great was how aggressive he was being, putting the ball on the ground. I think he had that baseline dunk when he put the ball on the floor. And the way that he was looking confident from 3-point land, 3 of 6, you know, just knocking those down, efficient shooting. I just want to see, whenever we see him do that on the offensive end, I just want to see that a little bit every single game. And I'm not saying a lot. I'm not saying you have to take over every single game. I'm not even saying you have to take a lot of shots. He was 7 of 10, 7 of 10 tonight, 11 rebounds. This guy, his game out there, it's just been so fun to watch as of late, like you said, with the extra bounce, pep in his step.
So since he returned from that injury,
yeah,
he missed 2 games, right? Mm-hmm. We maybe sat with the ankle.
Okay.
He's averaging 14.5 points, 48% shooting, 47% from 3, 7 rebounds. Yeah, the 3-point shooting has been a lot better for Keegan Murray recently, too. But I think it is some of the offense where we talk about the simplified offense, and I think there's just some better opportunity.
Yeah.
There's different types of looks they're getting.
And for him, I feel like there's better decision-making from him, though, with this freedom.
That's what I'm
the
saying.
Offense.
I think guys were overthinking a lot of things when they're out there playing offense, and that's why there it was so much inconsistency with like the flow. We're like, what's going on here? And I just don't see that as much with the Kings. There are definitely moments, and the Rockets slowed the Kings down, and they can muck up the game, but I thought the Kings played at a relatively nice pace. The second quarter was fantastic. I thought it was one of their best offensive quarters. I just felt like the ball was popping. You had the two-man game with Monk and Sabonis a few times. Fox on the two-man game with Sabonis, which I want to see more of.
Yeah.
Fox got him on a roll. Sabonis scored at the rim. And then Fox, Sabonis popped, and he hit a 3.
Oh, yes.
A little pick and pop. Sabonis, yes, who had 20 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 8 of 13 shooting. He only took 1 3 tonight. He made it. He had a double-double at halftime. He played 38 minutes.
He was himself. Like,
fun battle with Şengün, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. At time when Şengün goes through him,
it
impresses me every time because you know how strong Sabonis is out there, right? And so that, and same for Sabonis being able to be that undersized big and still just be able to create so much space with his body, with his strength.
Yeah. Sabonis is a brick house, and Şengün was like moving him. Şengün had 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 for 15 shooting. I thought he was pretty good tonight. And then those defensive plays we talked about too. But it's interesting how they kind of start the game. They didn't start Şengün on Sabonis. That's the second consecutive game they've done that. They had Şengün defending Keegan, and they had Jeff Green on Sabonis.
Well, I mean, Shengun's capable, but like I don't know.
I think Udoka sometimes, there could be something I'm just missing. I know this, you know, he's part of the Celtics. The Celtics do that too, where they don't put their big on the big. They put him on someone, blah, blah, blah. But I just felt like it's such a weird matchup because Keegan could attack Şengün, and that could be problematic at times. The Kings missed some opportunities in that first quarter to attack mismatches. They missed out. But sometimes I'm wondering if, like, that's Udoka's way of baiting the Kings to get it to Sabonis collapsing, because that happened a lot early in this game, where they were like, all right, we're going to go to the mismatch, Jeff Green, and then they just collapsed on Sabonis. They come swiping in. He's turning the ball over.
Obviously, there's something that they like about it to go in that direction. And we've talked about how this Kings offense, it felt like earlier in the season, they were always just looking to attack the mismatches.
All the time.
And it wasn't like they were just play basketball. Like, screw the mismatch. Like, there's obviously, like, with Ime Udoka, like, there's a plan there, you know, so in place. So, like, just play your game still.
I also think he doesn't want Şengün in foul trouble. All that stuff comes into play. But I'm like, oh, no, you're seeing how they're just collapsing on Sabonis and making life hard. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. The first matchup, they put Jabari Smith on Sabonis.
Okay.
I thought they did a good job, too, attacking Alper and Şengün in the pick and roll. Same with Steven Adams.
Yeah.
I thought that those were smart plays.
Yeah.
For sure.
With you.
I appreciate you guys so much for being here. I'm trying to think of other stuff I want to hit on for tonight.
Fast Demo, break. We did.
De'Aaron's night, man. 6 of 17. 6 of 17. He still ends up with 19 points. I thought he had some nice moments as a passer tonight, setting up his teammates. He had 7 dimes. He did have 3 turnovers. And then the 4 steals. 3 of those steals came in the fourth quarter. Why are you looking at me like that?
I was just like,
okay, I'm gonna get some water.
Oh, wait, really? Yeah.
I gotta be honest, there's a part of me that gets scared sometimes because, you know, as a broadcaster, I don't think it's a fog. I just think we're halfway through the NBA season. We do a lot of talking.
And I feel it more tonight than usual.
Okay. Well, it could be the poisonous fog that we're inhaling.
That's not good. We have to figure out.
Yeah.
Let's look for like eco-friendly fog shit to put in that. Okay.
I'll go to San Francisco and bottle some up, huh? We'll just release it that way.
Going back to De'Aaron Fox's game, 6 of 17, is it just where he's inefficient, whatever. To look at some of the good, like you were saying, though, the big free throws at the end, when we saw that last year, those weren't even being made. It'd be a shitty game and miss free throws.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see big free throws being made at the end. And also the assist numbers. I love just him and his ability to still create so much attention where defenses are having to put so much on him that he's just got to keep making sure he's putting his head up and finding the open man if he's putting himself in that situation.
I don't feel like he got easy looks in this game. You know, the game against Milwaukee, I went back and watched too, because the noise anytime the Kings lose, you know, it's like, oh, it's De'Aaron's fault or something. And I went back and watched, and I did a little film session for some people in Discord.
Amazing.
Because, you know, it's like, oh, he's not setting the tone, he's not doing this. I'm like, dude, that Milwaukee game, I felt bad after, because I'm like, after watching a second time, I'm like, I did not give him enough credit for what he did out there. Like, missing shots doesn't mean you had a shit game. Now tonight, that Rockets defense impacted him. And even when he had a couple of good looks, he missed them. He was short. It was a tough night. And they're definitely going to need him to be shooting better than 6 of 17. I was happy to see that he didn't launch like 10 threes in this game. He was 2 of 4 from downtown. Yep. The assists were nice. I mentioned the two-man game. He had that one with Sabonis, and then he had the one dime that he had to DeMar in the corner. He had some big moments in the fourth quarter defensively, too. I thought defensively he did some nice things out there. He played with the physicality and edge, but it was clear that tonight that the Rockets had him a little bit frustrated in attacking. I also think the last two games, he's just not getting some calls, man. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it was surprising that he got the calls at the end of the game.
Yeah, but there were some drives. I'm like, he got fouled. No call. I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. I mean, that, look.
If it impacts the entire shot, it needs to be called.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, obviously that goes for like anyone, but this is someone who is driving the paint every single time. And then you watch a game like with SGA and he get like someone looks at him and they're calling a foul, you know? I'm not trying to be a petty and exaggerating, because I think SGA does a great job, though, of also either initiating that contact and also selling it when he needs to sell it. I don't need De'Aaron to just look for the call, like look to make the shot first. And I think he's done a great job of that. Yep. But I think at times that's also hurt him with the officiating crews as well.
But I think for him, it's like, can you find other ways to impact the game? Like, don't get in your feelings. You need to keep bringing the edge defensively. I thought tonight he did that defensively. He had three steals in the fourth quarter. I'm checking to see if we have a deflection update. No, we do not. But no, I thought defensively he brought that. And, you know, the reality is, and it's a fair criticism that people bring up, is like, hey, if he's going to be a star and he wants big time money in the future, you know, 6-17 can't happen all the time. 9-20 You can have a little bit of a bad stretch, but
sure,
you got to be great more times than you're good.
Just so many more standards when you're making that much money. But, I know.
And that's fair. That's part of it. That's the responsibility of being a star player. But also, like, to be fair, like, Houston's defense did a great job there. You could tell he was feeling it too. There was one play. Someone was like, oh, so Fox passed up a mid-range shot and he passed it to Sabonis. And you go back and look on the replay, it's because Thompson, he was feeling Thompson behind him on a rear contest.
You know, it's funny. I know that when I remember watching it from my angle and I was like, why the shit didn't he shoot that? So, okay. And I thought
he felt Thompson
and
near him.
Thompson's long.
And I think he misread it. I think he had the space to shoot it. But in his mind, again, that's Terror Twins, dude. These guys are really good and they're long. And that's the type of matchup that Fox is going to face sometimes, especially against these teams like Houston, who have length and athleticism they could throw. It's the same thing that the Rockets have to face and other teams have to face with Keegan Murray when they start a, you know, Keegan on their main score. It's tough. It's really tough. And you have to find a way to, like, get through that, obviously. Tonight, he struggled with a shot, 6-17. He was just 4-10 in the paint tonight. But making the big free throws late, I thought was critical. Huge. Coming up with some big plays in general in the fourth. And that's why you had a team. And you hope guys can lift you when the moments you're kind of struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we got to everyone that I wanted to get to. Points in the paint. Did you mention points in the paint?
It ended up being 66 points in the paint for the Rockets. 52 for Sacramento is a great number, but 66. And I mean, that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, Thompson and Eason were just monsters in the paint. They combined for 26 points in the paint. It's nasty.
Them obviously in the fast break as well. You think about them.
Yeah. What we didn't talk enough about, I think, Jalen Green in this game.
I mean, he's looking really good.
I mean, he is putting up 30 like every single night, it seems like. He had that big 40 game against Memphis, followed up with another big game and another big game. And then tonight, he ends up with 28 points, 10 of 20 shooting, 4 of 8 from downtown, 4 of 5 at the line. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 turnovers in this game.
It's looking efficient, too.
Yeah. It's another guy that's not afraid to take a shot.
And a bit like a tough shot, a big shot. But like,
he kept him in it today. It's like, oh, the Kings hit free throws. All right, this game's in control. Big drive to the bucket. Big three. That there's one three he hit late. I think it was that one late to cut it back to one, I believe.
That was on Keegan.
Keegan was on. Yeah. That was not an easy shot.
No, because Keegan was dropping.
He was in transition. He was dropping
back. Keegan was dropping back like, okay, do I need to get up on him or do I need to come back? And it was just enough space that he had Keegan back where he could shoot it. And Keegan had to make the decision. Like, he can take it to the rack. He can obviously shoot the ball over me as well. And he was just a step off. And Green recognized it, and my God, is he a tough shot maker.
It's really interesting because the start of the season wasn't great for him at all. But this stretch here in January, it's like, dude, he's playing like one of the best guards in the league. And there's so much talk about if Houston's going to make some big swing coming up this offseason, you know, do they want Devin Booker? Yeah, they do. Like, they're being very blunt about that. You know, would they have interest in De'Aaron Fox? Yeah, I think so. they want to take a big swing here. But the way Jalen's playing, you're like, guys, do you think you need to?
And I mean, what, 22 years old? How old is he?
He's still super young.
Yeah.
And let's see. In the month of January. So in January, he's played 8 games. I think this is updated through tonight. If not, it's coming into tonight. He's 3rd in the NBA in scoring in January in 8 games. 30 points a game, 52% shooting, 48% three on 9.4 attempts. Also 92% at the line on 5 free throws a game.
Wow.
So he's like, right now you're like, what? Why would the Rockets ever think about trading this guy? He hasn't been playing like that the entire season. But the way he's locked in right now, dude, he looks really special.
He does. And he's, like you said, the one that was keeping them in it. And his energy out there, it's very composed. It's controlled for him being so young. But to also make the impact that he is making with some of those shots has been fun to watch.
I just realized something I did want to ask you about.
What?
So 130-127, Rockets have the ball. Where do you weigh in on the, like, hey, do you foul here, put him at the line instead of giving up a three? Because Jalen Green did get a good look from three. He missed
it. Yeah, he did.
I'm always so mixed on it because the math, you're like, yeah, just come on, put him at the line. And all I think about is like
them getting the
no.
Oh,
I think about like not fouling the right way and somehow giving up an and one or like, I don't know. I just think about the worst possible scenario. Why and not, that's one of them, yeah. The rebound.
Why not just play straight up? Especially if you do trust your team defensively. If you don't trust your team defensively, foul, yeah. Right? I think with this team, you absolutely can trust their defense.
I also go, man, is there like too much time on the clock? Because if you foul them, there's still enough time. They go to the line. If they make two, you still have to inbound the ball, which, by the way, was not an easy thing for Sacramento late in this game.
That was scary.
Was that?
What the shit was that?
Was that more about the Rockets or more about the Kings?
It was definitely both.
And because, you don't have any timeouts.
But here's my thing. Why, like, after you couldn't get it in like the first 3 times, why wasn't your next one to just like get it back court? And I know Trey would have had a really weird angle to try and like chuck that shit back court.
With their length too. Yeah, they get a tip out. No.
Okay. So erase that idea. I was just, my point is, I was just thinking of different ways that they could have just get the ball in bounds. I don't care where it was. Dude. I don't even care if it was in a corner at that point. Just get it in bounds.
And when they finally did, wasn't it like
Malik got fouled?
Malik got fouled. And you're like, oh my God.
And thank God he did.
Because that would look like it was about to be a turnover.
Brooks,
whether
6th foul. It was such a luck. Like Dylan Brooks was getting called for things that he was doing, that he was absolutely doing. But you're just not used to the Kings getting those calls late in game. So
4.8 seconds when Jalen Green launched that three, and they started the position with 8.9. It's like, yeah, you fell right away. I mean, there's just too much time on the clock. I think that you can't, you almost have to just play it straight up and trust it. And Jalen Green, I mean, at that point, Jalen Green, it felt like he was going to make everything, you know?
Well, I'm almost thinking too, even on that play, if I would have wanted Keegan almost putting the, but again, would have, should have, could have, whatever. Yeah.
Damn.
Kings win, so.
They would win tonight.
We're acting like those plays at the end.
It all matters.
It does. It was crushing. I know.
We also have to bounce around the NBA tonight. We have to look ahead to what's next for Sacramento. We do need to mention that tonight's podcast, what were we going to look at?
No, that.
Oh, damn it. You gave me a look, so I was going to toss it back to you. And God, that's my bad. So it's a turnover on
continue.
Me. Continue. All right. My bad.
Continue.
I'm sorry.
You.
Thank you. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We do want to mention, do some more podcasts presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union.
Dude, tonight. Dude,
we are all one with Golden One.
We are all one. But tonight I saw right away people holding up their Golden One cards. They got courtside seats. Upgraded to courtside seats just by being a member.
One of the many perks you can get. You can join up to get 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch. Yeah, just for being a Golden One member.
So many perks. So many perks. And use that QR code. Just scan it right now. And you can start this fun financial journey today and get all these perks.
Yeah, go to GoldenOne.com. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. We're all one with Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're looking for new windows, there's no better place to go, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, definitely get your windows there. They are life-changing. They'll save you so much money. You can go to the showroom. You can go online. If you're intimidated, just go get a free quote today. But also, HVAC systems, they are so helpful. They have so many different tune-up opportunities. If you have no idea what you're doing with your HVAC system, just, again, reach out, and they will help you with all of these questions.
Yeah, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com today. Go to their showroom, too, because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Morgan Reagan, who would be your simply the best player of the game tonight?
I really liked Malik Monk. I like the pizza guy being back, his energy being back, the two-man game. It's just so pretty. But DeMar DeRozan, he hit so many points, was so fun. I don't know.
I asked that to the people. Who was the player of the game? The options: DeMar DeRozan, 33 points, 16 in the fourth quarter. Malik Monk, who had 26 points, 9 dimes in his return. Mm-hmm. Domantas Sabonis, don't sleep on that guy, with 20 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. Or Keegan Murray with a double-double, 18 points, 11 rebounds. The fans spoke, and we agree.
Oh.
Are simply the best player of the game, Debo.
Hey!
DeMar DeRozan, 33 points, 16 in the fourth quarter.
Hell yeah. Good job, DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he deserved it. Just look at what he did in the fourth quarter, but also, obviously, an efficient game. Love to see that he's our simply the best player of the game.
Yep. Shout Debo. Shout out Debo. Man, what else do I want to talk about? There was something with the game that I realized I want to hit on, and now I'm forgetting.
How is there anything else?
I don't know. Oh, I do know. I want to hear a little bit of Malik Monk because you kept talking about him. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let's hear some Malik Monk after this game. After this Kings win over the Rockets.
Going to the line and hitting all of those free throws down the stretch. How big was that to sort of win a close one like this?
The free throw has been our kryptonite for 2 years. So I'm glad we turned it around and able to finish the game that way.
Lee, at the beginning of the season, you guys were having trouble with close games at the end. I think it was 5 points or less. You were like 2-5 at the beginning of the year. Now it's completely flipped, I feel like, in the past couple of weeks. What do you think is the biggest difference?
Those games made us ready for the games now. And we just execute more, getting 2-3 more stops, and that's the game.
Malik, how impressed were you just the way, you know, you guys, if you took a lead, they come right back, but you guys kind of held composure and were able to kind of, you know, hold them at bay?
That's what we've been preaching. Team make a run. What we gonna do after that? Our reaction to the run. So I'm satisfied with the reaction we had because they make one, we make one. They make another one, we make another one, and get a few more stops and win the game. So yeah, I'm happy with that.
Malik, first off, did Keegan get a thumbs down for the transition layup?
Well, I don't even remember. What happened?
The behind the back and then switch the hands and one. And
yeah, he told me. I asked him, did he have it? He said no. So, yeah, that's thumbs down.
More on Keegan, though, specifically. He's really been fighting through the slump this season. This is one of his maybe his best game of the season, especially here in this building. How have just you've seen him work himself through this and then have the breakout performance like tonight?
Keegan's guarding the best guy almost every night. So, he's going to have some down games. And that's why we're a team. So I just try to install confidence in them, tell them to keep shooting the ball, and it's going to turn around at some point. I'm happy it's turning around now, though.
Malik, the energy with the team seems different, but for you guys, does the energy in the building even feel different now too?
Yeah, I like the energy. I like the energy in here now. I said we was going to turn it around. We're turning it around now. The fans into it. And, yeah, we just got to keep it going.
Dude, he did say that, remember? He said, we're going to turn it around.
Yeah.
And they have. That was right after Mike Brown got fired. It was shoot around before the Lakers game. And he goes, we're going to turn it around.
First team all confidence.
Yep. Love that
shit.
Yep. No, I love that shit.
Says it. Does it. Gotta believe.
Should we go around the NBA real fast?
Sure.
It's one of my favorite things we like to do. We always like to put this disclaimer on it. We didn't watch these games. Mm-mm. We're just going over it for the first time to play catch up. Indiana beat Detroit 111-110. Tyrese Halliburton did make his return after missing a game.
Nice.
They were led in scoring by Miles Turner, who, get this tonight, 8 threes for Miles Turner, 8 of 11 from downtown. They led by as many as 20 points in this game. The Pistons been playing good basketball, though. I like the Pistons. Are the Pistons America's team right now?
Oh.
Dude, Detroit, like, they've been bad forever. They can't get any lottery luck, and no one expected them to be awesome this year. They get Harris and Hardaway. Everyone's clowning them, and they're above 500.
And they lose Ivy. And
Right. Totally forgot about that. Like, all these, like, castaways, like, Malik Beasley, he can't guard. He can't do anything. Malik, not a great example tonight. He was 1 of 10, 1 of 8 from 3. Sharpshooter for 3. Cade Cunningham. Looks like an all-star. He's healthy.
That's cool, which I'm happy to see.
It's badass. But yeah,
I'm not going with America's team, though. Go on.
Kind of like America's sweetheart. Like, hey, the Pistons, they're always bad. We want to do well, no?
We're getting there.
Dude, what a time to be a Detroit fan right now. The Lions are awesome. The Pistons are fun.
That would be a great, great turnaround.
Yep. The Suns made a trade yesterday, and then they win over the Washington Wizards, the Kings' next opponent, 130-123. The Suns led by as many as 24 points in this game. Devin Booker, 37 points in this game. 13 of 15 at the line. KD at 23. How'd Kyle Kuzma do today?
How'd he do?
5 points on 2 of 4 shooting in 27 minutes.
Sweet.
The leading scorer today, well, in the starting lineup was Jordan Poole, who had 18 points on 6 of 16 shooting. Can I bring a conspiracy theory to the table? You guys mind? I just looked at all-star voting today, and Jordan Poole is, you know, in the, not at the top or anything, but he's in the top 10 of guards in the East, right?
Okay. Okay, I didn't know that, but okay.
This is fan voting, okay? Okay. No, it's fan voting. But you look at the top 10, and it has LaMelo Ball, Donovan Mitchell, Dame Lillard, Jalen Brunson, Trae Young, Tyrese Maxey, Cade Cunningham, Darius Garland, Jordan Poole, and Tyler Hero. Any particular name missing in the guards? The one I just mentioned in the last game. Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Tyrese Halliburton,
like, who?
Got like a million votes last year. He was an all-star starter last year.
Uh-huh.
And the all-star star is different, determined by fan, coach. There's percentages, okay? And players have some say, whatever. He's not in the top 10 of voting in the East? I grant you, he hasn't had the best year, was really struggling. He's turned it on lately. But, you know, fan voting, this guy, like, all the votes last year. Now he's not even in the top 10.
Like, did people just, like, not? Yeah.
Are people totally out on this guy? Or was there some weird Indiana conspiracy theory? The game was in Indiana last year. The NBA was pushing him like crazy after the in-season tournament because he was red hot. During the NBA All-Star game that weekend, it was like a passing of the torch. Reggie Miller to Tyrese Halliburton. The future of the Indiana Pacers. From one Hall of Famer to the future Hall of Famer.
I know.
And now he's not in the top 10?
And I
did the Pacers juice voting last year? Did the NBA have something to do?
I know that obviously he's not playing like a complete all-star this year,
I
right?
agree.
But no. But
I'm just saying.
You know, stop. Just stop talking for a second. Dear God, please.
Continue. I mean, I did. Yeah, how do you like that?
I'm joking. Calm down. So I get that. But I also feel like he was talked about and so loved last year. How does that just go away?
That's what I'm saying, dude.
How do a million people just like not like him anymore?
I mean, it'd be one thing if he was like seventh. It'd be like, oh yeah, I get it. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's weird to me. That doesn't make sense.
Why is Jordan Poole like?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
It may be Jordan Poole and the 6-win Wizards is in the top 10 of scoring or voting in the East. That's crazy to me. Anyway, that was my quick soapbox conspiracy, and Morgan does not buy it. That's
oh, fair. Well, I don't want to buy it, but I'm not saying I don't buy it. I know.
Clippers.
This one.
118, Blazers 89. This is the day after what went down between the Clippers and the Nets. The Clippers won yesterday at home 126-67. Yes, they led by as many as 64 points in that game. They play in the second night of back-to-back and beat the Blazers 118-89.
I didn't see that score from yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I'm such a basketball sicko that I turned on this game in the fourth quarter just to hear one of the best broadcasters in the game, Ian Eagle, call the game. And, of course, he made it great somehow.
How?
Amazing.
How?
Amazing. And then the last game of the night, it was a game that was on before Sacramento. Wow. Wasn't close. Oklahoma City hammers the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, 134-114. Morgan, OKC led in this game by as many as 42 points against the Cavs.
That's, I mean...
Didn't see a minute, but that's insane. SGA, 40 points, 8 assists in 29 minutes. What the hell?
Like, what, I almost want to go back and watch just every possession of his. Like, what were you doing? Just pushing up the floor, scoring at the rim, no resistance?
Well, here's a one thing that's not ideal. The Cavs, 21 turnovers that turned into 30 points in this game. Oklahoma City had 12 steals in this game.
Look at both teams' points in the paint. 54.
54, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Tough one for
would
the Cavs.
Would love to know the story of this one.
Yeah, but that's an interesting one. That first game was so fun. This game was not fun. So that's tonight in the NBA. Coming up for the Sacramento Kings, the Wizards. The Washington Wizards come to town.
Popular Jordan Poole.
Yeah. Washington plays tomorrow.
Wait. That's Friday.
Yeah.
Wait, today is technically Friday because...
Yeah, that's why we're thrown off. And yes.
Got it.
They can't play three games in a row. That's what I'm saying. There's no way. Yeah. They play... Wait. So they play Saturday. We're back. You got it.
Okay, wait. So today, right now, I'm getting tired, but it's Friday.
It's now Friday. It's after midnight. So yeah, they play Saturday and then against Golden State, and then they play Sunday in Sacramento. So back-to-back for the Wizards.
Hell yeah.
So that's good news.
Give it to them.
And then the Kings play the Warriors after that to conclude the mini three-game homestand. So, Morgan, I can't lose the Wizards game. That's like...
It's like what?
I mean, it's you don't want to call things must-wins, but like if you want to zap all momentum, you lose that game. The Wizards have lost 8 in a row. Here's a better way to put it. They have lost 33 of 39. They're 6-33.
It's so bad.
They give up a ton of points. They've got some intriguing young talent.
And they do.
I like Koulibaly.
And they could. And here's the thing: if you're having your off night or you're playing to their standards, you can lose. So sometimes these are the hardest games to figure out how to maintain your style of play. Try and get the other guys in there to get them going.
Yeah, I've seen too many Kings losses to the Wizards in recent years. let's get to some super chats, Morgan. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us late, by the way.
Yes.
Michael donates $5 saying, Morgan and Michael here from Denver. So happy we got to meet you tonight. First time at Golden One Center. First Bean Baby. Did you meet them, Morgan?
Love that.
I did. You did not.
I mean, wait, I can't remember. My brain, the fog is in my brain.
We're almost at the end of the show. I met them on the concourse.
Oh my gosh.
They're in town from Denver. And yeah, they're awesome. It was their first time at Golden One Center.
First Bean Baby. Yeah. I love that.
Michael and Morgan, they watch together, so appreciate them. Oleg donates $5 saying 42 points for each team in the fourth. Great game to be at. Kings were clutch with free throws in the fourth, dude. 42 is insane. Bog donates $5 saying, this was my first ever basketball game. I went with two really good friends and had the time of my life. My first beam.
Give me a hell yeah.
That's exciting.
There's nothing like that first beam in person.
There's nothing like the first beam.
$5 from RP who says, F Chuck, light the mother effing beam. Go Kings. What did Chuck do wrong tonight? Thank you so much to Brother Fabs for becoming a member, saying we all bought in like the Beam Baby. Francisco donates $5. Thank you. What's up, Joe? Thanks. Donating a couple of bucks, saying love you guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Mitch, how big does re-signing Monk look right now? Oh my God, dude.
Amazing.
I did not think he was going to re-sign.
Mm-mm. No, we both didn't.
No.
Well, did anyone? We were already like preparing for the worst.
Shout out to Josh for donating, Robin as well, SGA Sports Talk for becoming a member. Yeah, the Monk resigning. Yeah. Not only him resigning was big, it's just you look at the contract, you're like, God damn, that's nice.
God damn.
He does that a lot.
I know, I love it.
All right, final thoughts, Morgan.
Final thoughts. I might have found us a fog machine liquid that is water-based for future. My other final thought would be, what a fun night. What a fun game.
Just to push back, a water-based fog machine, if it's, there's probably other stuff in it. It's not probably 100% water.
Let me have my final thought.
Go ahead.
My final thought about the game. It's just so cool. It's so energetic and fun at the arena. But to see them beat a good team, even if they're missing a couple guys on TNT, I love to see it. And I love the style that they're playing. And I just hope that they can continue playing this same style all the way through the rest of the season.
My final thoughts, shout out to Simon, man. He says, hello from Paris. It's 9 a.m. here. So cool waking up, seeing the Kings have won again, and listening to you guys while at a cafe and croissanting.
Bonjour.
Light the beam. Wee wee, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light the
beam. Wee wee. That's all I got. I don't know anything else in French.
I used to know how to say, do you know where the bathroom is?
Why would you know that?
Because I went to Paris.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I needed
my world traveler. I apologize.
I won a trip to Paris.
Oh, you're so cool. You're so cool. My other final thought. Yeah, dude, this feels like it's going in a good direction right now. And this stretch coming up here is not easy. I'm going to warn all you guys, do yourself a favor.
Oh.
Don't do the dive too deep into the schedule thing. Either way, you start like when you start counting wins, you get let down. When you start looking ahead, going, oh, this road, they can't win on this road trip. Here's what I'm going to remind you of.
What?
When the Kings were 13-18, then turned into 13-19 after that loss to the Lakers, there is not one person on this earth, no way, who thought the Kings would be 21-20.
No.
So we're going to be like the players.
Oh.
One game at a time. Washington. Just Washington's like up next.
Washington.
Take care of the Wizards.
Yep.
Bad team. They're at your place.
Second night of a back-to-back for them.
We don't dick around with that
Mm-mm.
game. We win that game.
Hell yeah.
And it's on the next one. One game at a time.
Look at us.
Chip away. Keep going up because you're climbing up the NBA standings. I want to be in the mix of things. You have other teams falling. Dallas is banged up right now. They're losing left and right. Phoenix, what are they doing? I do think the Nick Richards signing was like a decent pickup.
Sure.
So I just want the Kings to be in a position around trade deadline to take a little swing at something nice that will improve the team and keep this going. All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. We'll be back Sunday night. If we missed anything, make sure to drop it in the comments below. Continue that conversation. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You're all the best. You have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.